It has been my honor to support and work with President Barack Obama, a man who has brought courage and character to the presidency. President Obama's strength of character leads him to do the right things, together, even when it isn't the easy thing.
Radio. We have audio, no video.
We are forging a stronger future.
Radio Free Beagle.
Transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is episode 16-03 here at Radio Free Redoubt, coming at you live from Studio A, deep within the American Redoubt. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you guys for tuning in yesterday and listening to Radio Free Redoubt on the American Christian Network. And wow, what a last couple of weeks it has been. I missed you guys, but I want to say a very special thank you for Fox 519 stepping up last week and filling in for me. That was unplanned. I got a message through the Amron network that was supporting our operation that we were doing last week in Burns, Oregon, or in the vicinity of Burns, Oregon, saying, hey, Fox 519 offered to step up and do a show for you. Would you... what do you think? And I said, heck yes. Thank you so very much. I wasn't even going to ask. And well, we had no idea how long the operation was going to be. But when it was very clear that I would not be available to do that on Sunday, he stepped up. So I'm really grateful for him and the partisans who helped him get that out there. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I think he did a great job. It was fun to listen to. Now, this week has been kind of a demobilization week. The week prior was a ramp up and hurry up and wait week because we had gotten notifications that we would be deploying as communication support in case commercial communications were cut if things escalated down there, that we'd provide the communications link. So it was some Amron Corps operators, just a handful that were helping to support that operation, both on a deployment detachment and some support operators throughout the region, which I'm very grateful for. And everybody just did an amazing job. So I am going to debrief that a little bit with some of our lessons learned. It really shed some light on several operators who thought they were more ready than they really were to operate in an actual operational environment. So there were some great lessons learned. And also, I identified, along with some of the others, some things that I want to pass on to you guys. So it'll be kind of an after-action review as much as I can cover it, because there's a lot of stuff that I still can't cover just because this has obviously not been resolved yet. It's an ongoing situation in Burns. I do not know what our role will be, if any, in the future. But I'm going to talk about Burns, Oregon tonight. 2 weeks ago, I gave an initial assessment that this was just a wrong move to make for Patriots. And that I didn't support it, and we put the word out that we don't, Radio Free Redoubt and Amron.com does not support the actions of taking the wildlife refuge, and we will not be supporting the folks that are occupying that refuge at this time because, well, it's just out of bounds at this point. It was an offensive, not defensive operation, has strong reservations about the wisdom of doing it, and but I also misassessed the government. I was wrong. Can I say that? Can I say I was wrong? I was I was wrong about a couple of things. And I was right at the time, but now knowing what has unfolded since then, it changed things. It was a game changer for where I stand on that whole situation. I also was wrong about the federal government's response, and they blew it. I mean, really, to look at it objectively from, you know, outside looking in, objectively looking at the whole tactical situation, strategic, everything, they blew it. So I'm going to talk about that in, probably segment three. Segment two or three. I'm not sure yet. But I'm going to talk about that. I have some thoughts. And I've really, you know, I've prayed about it. I've assessed and I've consulted with other counselors on this whole thing, because it still could escalate so quickly, and there's just a lot of people right on the edge. It's got a lot of people real edgy right now, so let's just say that. But we're going to get into the news and commentary, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, all 10 books out on audio as well, about the collapse and the rebuilding post-collapse. A great story. And we want to thank Glenn Tate for, well, all of our sponsors, but thank you for Glenn Tate for just so consistently being there for us to help support Radio Free Readout and what we're doing. And we appreciate all of your support. This is listener supported, and we really appreciate any amount that you can help to keep us on the air, to keep us growing, to keep us expanding and getting the message out there. We're very grateful. So let's get into the news and try to make some sense out of, well, we've got some world powers and the United States and Iran playing some games. Deception. All right. Now, last week, two U.S. Navy vessels were taken into captivity by the Iranian Navy or security forces. They took U.S. sailors into custody. I have my own thoughts as far as statements made on camera by our Navy personnel. I'm sure they will be fully debriefed on their conduct while they were in captivity. But there was some hand smacking that needed to take place. Obviously, they were not trained adequately for that situation, or they didn't retain their training, but there were some mistakes made. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what they said or did. I think that our government already had their minds made up, because there's deception going on all the way around. First of all, Navy ships, Navy boats, patrol boats, they travel in twos for a reason. If one breaks down, they will self-extract. One will tow the other one out. Secondly, these guys have so much GPS, so much navigational equipment, and redundant navigational equipment, especially in waters that are so volatile with a potential adversary lurking nearby, the Iranians, in a very narrow body of water. You have to know where you're going. Because why? Because you're going to cause some major international issues for your country if you stray into Iranian waters. But they're claiming that they did. Of course, you know, the Iranians confiscated all GPS, all data, so there's no way to verify. But this whole thing stinks. And to get our guys back, which happened really fast, we decided to lift the $100 billion sanctions on Iran. Oh, you've got some of our guys in captivity. Oh, and look what we found, this report that says you are now in compliance with the nuclear agreements. So we're going to lift the $100 billion sanctions on your nuclear ambitious country, and then we'll get our guys back. Now, there's a couple different things that happen here this week. This is what's called exploitation, and these are what are called concessions. So what happened is we actually made the concessions to get our guys back by lifting this $100 billion sanctions. And the European Union was jumped right on it too, and they're participating in this as well. Because, well, they're in compliance now. I mean, for months and months and months, The Iranians are snubbing their noses at the rest of the world, laughing at these nuclear talks, saying we're not going to abide by this. Now they got some of our troops, and whoa, you guys! Oh, look, actually, you do comply after all. And then we got our sailors back, and then we have a prisoner exchange happen right on the heels of this great news that they are complying now with the nuclear talks. So we give up, I believe it was 7 Iranians that we were holding, and we get 4 back in return. Now, there's good news in this, in that Christian pastor Saeed Abedini from Boise, Idaho, from the American Redoubt, is coming home. They are reportedly in Switzerland right now, probably getting debriefed by multiple different agencies, but they're going to be on their way home. And then, of course, besides Pastor Saeed, there's a reporter, it's like 3 other people. So they're going to be finally tasting freedom again after quite a long time in captivity. But we lift the sanctions, we get our guys back, we do the prisoner exchange, and as soon as they're in the air, bam, sanctions back on Iran. but they're quite different type of sanctions. The Obama administration announced Sunday that it was imposing new, more limited sanctions, so softer, kid glove type of sanctions on some Iranian citizens and companies for violating the United Nations resolutions against ballistic missile tests. Okay, you comply with the nuclear deal. Okay, we got all that. But you guys, well, you violated the ballistic missile test. So sanctions back on. Sanctions off. Sanctions on. And this is the game that they're playing. But look at this little news article that kind of snuck in under the radar. John Kerry announced, the Department of State said that they're working out a deal for the U.S. to pay. Not only are they lifting these $100 billion sanctions, now the United States is going to pay Iran $1.7 billion in debt and interest. The United States is to repay Iran $400 million debt and $1.3 billion in interest dating to the Islamic Revolution, Secretary of State John Kerry said on Sunday. The repayment, which settles a suit brought under an international legal tribunal, is separate from the tens of billions of dollars in frozen foreign accounts that Iran can now access after the end of nuclear sanctions. And what's interesting is Obama says, diplomacy ruled the day. This is a win-win situation because we're lifting the sanctions on them and we're getting our guys back. So who's this a win-win for? It's a win-win for Iran. Well, great diplomacy. You just gave them $100 billion in frozen assets, and then we gave them 7 Iranians that we've been holding. You're lifting sanctions, and now we're going to pay him $1.7 billion in interest. Do you feel like we're being sold out? Thanks, Obama. So the only good thing is, well, Pastor Saeed's coming home. And some 3 other Americans that were held, journalists. In New York City, from Reuters, police were investigating on Sunday an assault on a man who was pummeled by suspects shouting, ISIS, ISIS, leaving him with the bruises on his head and his face. They were hitting him and kicking him. 43-year-old man was attacked while walking with a 9-year-old girl in the Bronx on Friday. And he apparently was wearing a shalwar kameez, a traditional South Asian outfit featuring a long tunic. And now we have attacks on anyone who's not Muslim with people screaming ISIS. Interesting. You know, there's another article here in Vermont. Let's talk about freedom, liberty, and the encroachment of it in violations of the Constitution. They're talking about warrantless access to cell phones. And of course, it's all for our own good. In Vermont, they're proposing a piece of legislation because they paint the picture that, hey, you know, Officer Smiley pulls over a guy that he sees talking on his phone and he admits to being on his phone. But what if the guy had denied the officer or denied being using his phone? How could the officer prove it? Well, he's got to look at his phone to pull data off of it to prove that he was actually on the phone. So it's so cumbersome to get a warrant. Well, we need to give him special powers. If the man behind the wheel had denied violating Vermont's distracted driver law, checking the phone records would have helped the deputy make his case. But a search like that requires a warrant. Oh, no. What a drag. Well, lawmakers want to make it easier for officers like Officer Smiley to enforce Vermont's 2014 ban on using handheld devices while on highways. They're asking Vermonters to give up some of their privacy in exchange for safer roads. You know what? No. I will risk being free over being safe and have officials without warrants going through whatever they want, because what's next? And besides, it's already illegal. It's called distracted driving law, but every state that I'm aware of has a inattentive driving law on the books. So we need to have a special one for cell phones. So there's a difference between if you're like looking in the mirror, putting on lipstick while you're driving down the road, that's less dangerous than talking on a cell phone, or eating and dropping your food in your lap, or any other number of things. I've seen people driving down the road reading. Well, they're asking Vermonters to give up some of their privacy in exchange for safer roads. But this is called H. Bill 527, introduced by Martin Lalonde, Democrat, South Burlington. So they want to make sure that they don't have to deal with this cumbersome thing called a warrant. Just do away with that. It'll make us safer anyway. Good news in the American Redoubt, Sandpoint, Idaho, Boundary and Bonner counties have passed resolutions against immigrants coming into the communities and being relocated without meeting stringent vetting processes, which has got the human rights groups all in an uproar, because you hate people that are Muslim. You hate people that aren't like you. And, well, we're not falling for it. Just absolutely not falling for it. So, because of the outcry from the city and the residents, the citizens who showed up, Sandpoint City Council decided to table that vote over the refugee debate. So that's gotten pushed back. They were expected to just pass it and with flying colors to make Sandpoint a sanctuary city. They wanted to embrace the diversity and bring in Muslims into Sandpoint, Idaho. Right in the heart of the American Redoubt, the citizens showed up in force and said, no, not happening here. The city council stood down. So we'll have to watch to see what the next move is. You know, they're going to counter strike at some point in some way. But we've got a lot of great patriots keeping a very close eye on those sneaky buggers. Yesterday, I talked about a story out of Georgia. Democrats introduced assault weapons confiscation bill. Now, I had to look up a quote that I recalled, but I had to paraphrase it because I haven't looked at it in a while. But Democrats in Georgia's state house introduced a bill that bans so-called assault weapons and opens the door for the seizure of such weapons, along with accessories like high-capacity magazines. Well, the bill, HB 731, focuses on, listen to this, quote, dangerous instrumentalities and practices. Well, you can't have it because it's dangerous. chainsaws aren't dangerous, kitchen knives aren't, ladders aren't dangerous, because those claim more people, more lives. People falling off ladders claims more lives than guns. Well, dangerous instrumentalities. That reminded me of a quote by Tench Cox, who in 1790s. But he said, "The power of the sword, say the minority, is in the hands of Congress. My friends and countrymen, it is not so. For the powers of the sword are in the hands of the yeomanry of America. From 16 to 60, the militia of these free commonwealths, entitled and accustomed to their arms, when compared with any possible army, must be tremendous and irresistible. Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared, then, that we shall turn our arms, each man, against his own bosom? Congress has no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of Americans." That's Tench Cox. He was an American political economist, and he was also a delegate for Pennsylvania to the Continental Congress in 1788 to 1789. And he was a key anti-federalist, writing under the pseudonym A Pennsylvanian. So their bill, he basically squashes their opening, well, their description of this bill to focus on dangerous instrumentalities. Well, our founding fathers, who fully knew well the intent of our founding document, the Second Amendment, and everything else that goes with it, says the sword and every terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of Americans. That means, yes, liberals, assault weapons. The intent was for every American citizen to have in possession arms equivalent to that of any standing army, so that they could resist in case that standing army was ever used as an implement of tyranny by a tyrannous regime. Period. I know you don't like to hear that, but that's part of our heritage, and that's part of the heritage that we intend to hang on to. All right, Fox 519 with the eye in the economy, lots to talk about. So I'll be right back with you in segment two right here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Well, last week, markets put us in a slide that I've been saying is going to happen for a while, and it isn't over yet. This is due to the Baltic Index drying up and poor holiday sales. Major retailers are announcing closures of stores all over America, and even some here in the readout. We have Walmart with 269 stores, 15,000 workers, Macy's 14 stores, 4,000 workers, JCPenney 39 stores, 2,250 workers, Sears 235 stores, 10,000 plus workers. And, of course, the president just said this week that the American economy is the strongest it has ever been, which is a complete and utter lie. Now, we couple this with China's futures and poor news rolling about their economy, and this Tuesday could shape up to be another major, major stock slide. Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519, and I'm bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
All right, Fox, the economy has finally collapsed. I'm so glad we are all set and prepared. Looks like we've got our bases covered for a while. We've got the chickens for eggs and plenty of meat and lots of flour and yeast and other supplies.
Yep, we've got it all covered. I just got off the radio with the team and they're inbound right now. With any luck, they'll be here by day's end. We'd better get going around the tree here to be ready for them. Go tell the boys to break into the coffee storage and bring some up.
Dad, what are you talking about? We ran out of coffee last week. I was just down there. We don't have anything.
Last week? I haven't even had my coffee yet this morning. Oh, no, 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 no. This is not good. We can't even drive into town and try to buy what's left. The army has already closed the highway into town. How could we have overlooked this?
What are we going to do? Without coffee, we're not going to make it. All right, everyone. You don't want to end up like this family, do you? The bottom has fallen out. The stuff has hit the fan. And no way to get to the store again, and not a cup of coffee in sight. This is just a bad situation waiting to get worse. Thankfully, you've got SistersCoffeeRoasters.com to watch your six. They offer premium green coffee beans vacuum sealed with instructions on how to roast your own coffee, and the price is awesome. 3 pounds of green beans for $21, and shipping is just $6. I've tasted it, and it's the best I've ever tasted. So forget that canned stale stuff and add Sisters Coffee Roasters coffee to your food storage today. Call 509-999-6694 and get set up for your delivery right away before it's too late. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and make sure no coffee drinker is left behind. Well, welcome back, and a very special thank you to our newest sponsor of Eye on the Economy, Sisters Coffee Roasters. Again, we are enjoying you have as our sponsor, and thank you again. Well, everyone, I am raising the red flag here and saying it's time to get on your toes and make sure that you this week you're paying very, very close attention to the economy and what is happening. Let's start with the stock market. We saw almost a 1,000-point decline this week, and with the biggest losses being on Friday. The Dow closed at 15,988, just 686 points from where we need to be very, very concerned. Remember, that number is 15,302, and this is the point at which the percent drop from the highest point of the market could now match that of when the market fell back in September of 2008 in the previous crash. That's what we need to watch for. So, what drove the huge sell-off this week? Well, it was the bad news, and properly placed bad news, by China and world markets all over that they have such great instability in their economy. Now, we still say that that is properly placed news simply because of the fact that we believe that China is still Ladies and gentlemen, I can't speak tonight. There is so much news to bring at you. They're hoarding gold, and we know that at some point they're going to come out and back their money with it. Now, we also have to look at the instability in crashing oil prices. This is a huge factor as well in this. Now, if we couple these two items together, well, that is what's causing all the instability and worse in the world markets. Now, with China opening this evening and our markets being closed tomorrow, they could announce some major, major issues, and that could cause a major problem on Tuesday morning. Now, why is China having a hard time? Well, because no one is buying or shipping things overseas. Now, we need to talk a little bit about the Baltic Dry Index. This is the measure that shows how much goods and services are being shipped overseas. Now, let me tell you, there are no, and I mean no, to little ships moving across the planet. And this, I'm going to back this up. If you look at the shipping data from VesselFinder.com for the past couple weeks, this is a website dedicated to tracking the GPS receivers of major cargo ships all over the planet. Guess what? Most of the ships that we would need to see shipping goods and services from nations to nations all over the planet are sitting empty in port because no one is buying or selling, and that is a huge problem. The global economy is grinding to a halt. So, in return, what has this done? It's killing major retailers all over America. Getting back to it, Walmart, Macy's, Sears, Crate and Barrel, JCPenney's are just some of the stores closing, and the worker layoffs are going to be in the 30,000 range when it all said and done. Now, that's not counting any support services or shipping companies that may have to stop doing business as well. This will push this 94 million workers that are currently on unemployment or not in the workforce and not receiving a benefit to well over 95 million. And that's just possible that it's going to bankrupt our entitlement system. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in big trouble here in the coming weeks. Now, we know the news is bad. And here's the point in time where I think we're going to shift our focus just a little bit with Eye on the Economy and get back to what we used to do at some points. What should you be doing at this exact moment? Well, one, finish listening to us here, but multitask. Make sure you have access to your money in the bank. If you need to pull some cash out this week, make sure you get it done by Monday mid-morning. Now, that's going to be going to the ATM. Your bank branches are not going to be open. Now, I don't want to cause a panic here. I would top off gas tanks. Make sure that any crucial supplies you've been looking at, you may want to pick them up. You know what, if you've been thinking about buying silver for trade, you probably need to start doing that and tracking the price of silver as well. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Don't panic. Now is the time to just be very, very diligent with your preps. Here's just some things you're going to be mindful of in the next week. One, if the Dow hits 15,302, that's a point of concern. Number two, the ceasing of trade in China as a result of a major sell-off. Again, I believe they're positioning themselves to back their currency with gold. And three, the ceasing of trading in U.S. stock markets due to major sell-offs. The number we should be watching for in any one given day is possibly 40%. If we see a 40% slide in one day, I'd be making some phone calls to get your people on alert. I know this may sound like I'm pulling the fire alarm, but again, we just need to be very, very diligent and watch what happens in the next week. Don't panic. Don't cause a ruckus. This could creep us on us very quickly and hit us so fast that we would be reacting to it versus being proactive going into it. Keep a sound mind, everyone, this week. Thanks again for listening to Eye in the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Fox 519, for that. This is segment two, which is brought to you by Katie Armor. Right here in the American Readout, custom body armor needs, including soft armor. And that stuff's really great. They also got Katie Armor t-shirts. And those are just the coolest. I've got one. And don't forget to use your coupon code JohnJacob, JohnJacob, to get your discount. They've got about less than a 1 week lead time now. They're fully operational after their move to the American Readout. Speaking of that, you can always contact me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And if you're listening on the go, you can visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook as well. And that's facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. Pretty simple. I got a letter this week where someone said, you know, back here on the East Coast, we keep hearing about BLM, tyranny, government, federal government, lands, overreach, and all this stuff, but we don't get it. Here on the East Coast, basically everybody here is looking like these guys are just totally overreacting, lunatics. Anybody standing against the BLM with their fists in the air is just, you know, they're overreacting that. We don't see this BLM tyranny that people are talking about. Well, that is because in most of the New England states, the federal government only owns about 0.4% or manages about 0.4% to like 1% of the total land within those boundaries of those states. And many of those are military bases and things like that that are constitutional. And it's correct that the federal government owns those with the permissions of the states, which I'm going to let you listen to a audio file here in just a minute from Chris Ann Hall. Because what he was saying is, can you please educate us, help us understand this, because we don't get this. Well, in the Western United States, from, let's see, about New Mexico, Colorado, South Dakota, North Dakota, that go right up that line, everything there and westward, the federal government owns anywhere from 30 to almost 55% of the land in that state. Now, I misspoke. They don't own that land. They manage that land. That land is to be held in trust by the federal government, and then the states are to take that land back over. But they've got everybody towing the line. Oh, it would cost us so much to manage that land. We're better off letting the federal government manage it. There's a lot of stuff involved here. The BLM is managing land that it actually didn't have the constitutional right to, but I'm going to let Chris Ann Hall explain that here in just a minute. But what we're discovering is the minerals, the natural gas, the natural resources, the oil, the uranium, there's so much wealth under the dirt in land that the BLM has managing control over. It is worth a mind-blowing amount, enough to actually get us out of debt. If you also count the, you know, trees, the national forests, and the timber and the mining. So there's this battle for the states that need to be awakened to the reality that they can and should take control over that. Now, what we're also seeing is connections, and I pointed this out before, with the executive chair of Coeur Mining, Monsanto. There's several others that actually sit on the advisory board for the BLM. Now, these guys have a vested interest in mining and natural resources, so on and so forth. So we also discovered that down in Nevada, all the land that the ranchers have been pushed off of, we found that there was a deal that was being brokered by none other than Senator Harry Reid's son with the Chinese for a multi-billion dollar contract to turn the whole desert that had been taken away from the ranchers there into solar and wind farms. Imagine that. And who was in charge of the BLM then? I don't know who it is now. But it was Harry Reid's assistant who was running. He was the head of the BLM. So it's pretty apparent. I mean, anybody with some common sense can see there's some corruption going on here, right? And they're using the BLM as their henchmen to drive people off the land. They're diverting water. They're fencing off land and blocking access. This goes way back. Okay, to educate yourselves. First of all, over at Western Rifle Shooters, they've been putting a daily link dump related to the Halyer, what's called the Halyer link dump. That is the Malheur, Halyer. Why do I not have that in front of me? Malheur, which is the name of the lake and the wildlife refuge there in Harney County, Oregon, where Burns, Oregon, is the county seat. Okay, anything related to that, militia type stuff, press releases, new developments, Western Rifle Shooters have been putting that up there. We've been putting quite a bit up on Radio Free Redoubt, and Liberty for All has been putting up a lot of links. So there's a lot of information out there. It's fast flowing because there's a lot of developments happening. But to really educate yourself, besides listening to this video, which is a great introductory video for building the foundation for your understanding of this battle with the BLM in particular, and also the U.S. Forest Service, there's been some issues there as well. Primarily, it's the BLM is a big problem at the administration level, but they're using the boots on the ground as their enforcers to take this land from ranchers who've been using it for decades legally, and they're changing the rules, they're changing the game, and they're affecting the livelihood of whole communities. Now, if you want to learn more and really educate yourself on this, go to rangemagazine.com. It's really oriented toward farmers and ranchers for open range grazing and things like that. Ranchers that have, you know, hundreds and thousands of acres where they run cattle, other livestock, and they use it for farming, anything open range, this magazine covers it. Click on the tab called Special Reports, and that will give you a drop-down of multiple articles that really expose a lot of the stuff that the underhanded, corrupt, and just controlling, manipulative, and tyrannous measures that the BLM has used to try to drive Americans, the heart of, the heart and soul of America, our cattle ranchers, our farmers, miners, timber operating, timber industry, off of the land. They want it in a bad way. I also just posted a video of a woman bragging about buying a mine dirt cheap, turning around and selling it, basically pressuring these guys to buy their mine so they could turn around and sell it for what, $40 million? Just posted that on Facebook. It was a discreet video that was taken. And it's sad. It's just so sad what's happening, the people that we entrust. That too. So, okay, let's go ahead and just let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about Chris Ann Hall. I'm going to let you listen to hers, and then I'll wrap up with my new assessment of the situation when we come back. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Segment 3, Radio Free Redoubt, The John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you guys for tuning in and sticking around. This is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. You can learn more by going to selkirkmountainrealestate.com, helping patriots get relocated, strategically relocated to the American Redoubt, where God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots are rolling in by the droves. And it's just so good to hear you guys on a regular basis, hear from you and hear your testimonies. Just really exciting stuff. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is doing a good job of helping folks do that in the upper portion of the Idaho Panhandle. Now, now you understand some resources, where to go to educate yourselves a little bit. WesternRifleShooters.wordpress.com. We'll put a link in the highlights and resources posting for this show. And then RangeMagazine.com. Click on the tab Special Reports to get some great exposés on the heavy-handed tactics, some of the things that the ranchers have had to endure. So I want you to listen to Chris Ann Hall. Now, I also have an announcement. Chris Ann Hall will be in – she's actually in Burns, Oregon right now. She just got in. And she's going to be giving a presentation tomorrow night and Tuesday night. So – if you are in Burns, Oregon, or on your way there, I know a lot of folks have rotated in and out. Please make sure that you see, the town's not that big. It's, what, 4,000 people, 5,000 people at the most? But this is supposed to be taking place at the, well, it's up in the air. It's supposed to happen at the courthouse or at the fairgrounds, but there's a judge in town. Judge Grasty, he has been nothing but hostile toward the patriots, toward the coalition of Western states, the legislators who showed up to try to find a peaceful resolution. He's red-faced, blood veins sticking out of his forehead, spitting, snot flying, screaming literally at these legislators, telling them that they are outsiders and they need to leave and get out of town and go away. This is also the same judge that appointed the current sheriff. And there are some hints at, well, this guy wants everyone to leave. Don't ask questions, just go away. I don't know what he's afraid people are going to discover, but there's been enough suspicion raised with his activities that some folks are doing some very strong investigating. He is involved in the legislative, the executive, and the legislative branches of the county government. Sound like a little breach of separation of powers problem going on here? He's like, this is like Boss Hog of this community. He runs everything. Everybody thing goes through him. He is the man. City councilman is the executive position. No. He's a county commissioner, and he is holding the executive position of the county government, and he is a judge. Got some problems there. For how many decades has this guy been the man in that community? A very remote community. I'm not making accusations. I'm saying that based on the testimony of people who have been in there and encountered him and are learning more about that community, they're saying that it would be prudent to look further to make sure there isn't corruption, because there are indicators that there could be corruption there. And this town, this community is so remote. It is miles and miles away from anywhere. We drove in one way and left another way. And I'm telling you what, always going in there is like 100 miles from anything its size or further. Very, very remote. They can do whatever they want in that community. And, well, there's no accountability and nobody's, they're just like in their own world. So they really didn't want to see this happen. Well, this judge says, after threatening the delegation, warning them not to go out to the refuge to talk to those terrorists, his words, found out Chris Ann Hall is coming to talk about constitutional matters and the constitutionality of the BLM. And he said, denied. You will not use county facilities, which people have been using the fairgrounds. They've been using the courthouse. They've been using county facilities for press releases, for educating, for meeting, for town hall meetings. But he says, nope, not going to let Chris Ann Hall speak there. Well, there is a lawsuit in the making now. So the judge is going to get stuffed, and I'm just going to enjoy watching this. This guy's quite a character. So anyway, I want you to listen to what Chris Ann Hall had to say. She released this last week when she was on a mission trip in Haiti. Did a great job, but I got the audio file from it, and I want to encourage you to go over and watch it yourself. But this is pretty much just about the full length of the audio from that video. Does a great job explaining this. So just sit back and listen. Chris Ann Hall.
I'm Chris Ann Hall. I'm a constitutional attorney, author, educator, and talk show host. Let's talk about Oregon. Because it's not about the Hammonds. It's not about the Bundys. And it's time to take back the narrative. It's time to stop being directed and led by the media. It is time to stop being directed and led by the federal government's whims. It's time to know the facts. This is not about the Hammonds. This is not about the Bundys. This is about a federal government that is operating outside the supreme law of the land. The people are not acting lawlessly. It is the federal government that's acting lawlessly. The federal government has no authority to own any land outside Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says that the federal government's only authority to own land is 10 square miles for Washington, D.C., and the amount of land necessary to operate forts and ports at the permission of the states. So if the states don't want the forts and ports anymore, they have the authority to withdraw the permission. The only other section that someone could claim is Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, that deals with territories and then further expounds on the application of the ownership of land that we talked about in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Let's be very clear about this territories thing. Go read the Constitution. Territory is capitalized. This is a proper noun with a specific meaning, and the federal government owns no territory within the continental U.S. Territory is not even land that the government owns. Territory is land that the government holds in trust for the states. Once a state petitions to become a state and a member of the Union, that is no longer a territory, and the federal government has no authority over it. You see, once a state petitions and becomes a member of the Union as a state, it is an independent, free, and sovereign government. It's called the Equal Footing Doctrine, and even the Supreme Court of the United States upholds this doctrine. It says that every state that enters the Union enters on the same footing as the first 13. Go read the Declaration of Independence. You'll see what that footing is. Independent, free, and sovereign. You cannot be a territory and be sovereign. You cannot be a state and still be a territory. The federal government has no lawful control over any land in the states outside forts and ports and 10 square miles for Washington, D.C. Show me in the Constitution the authority for the Bureau of Land Management. I challenge you to show me because you cannot. There is no authority for the federal government to dictate to the states or the people how they operate their land. Do not recite to me executive order. There is no phone or pen big enough to alter the Constitution. Do not cite to me congressional act. Congress cannot pass laws to alter the Constitution outside Article 5 amendment process. Article 6, Section 2, Clause 2 says that no law made by Congress contrary to the Constitution is valid. Alexander Hamilton said the same thing in Federalist Papers 33. No law contrary, no law outside the Constitution is a valid law at all. The Bureau of Land Management, the federal government controlling our land, is a law that is lawless. It is outside the Constitution. Do not tell me the Supreme Court said this or that, because the Supreme Court does not have the constitutional authority to expand the power of the federal government or create new powers. That is not the role of the Supreme Court. They don't even have the authority to be the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, tells us in 1798, as he's arguing before the ratification of the Constitution, hey, the Supreme Court of the United States is not above the states. The Supreme Court of the United States cannot make law. The Supreme Court of the United States is not the ultimate arbiter of the Constitution. James Madison so very clearly explains that the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution are the states themselves. They are the creators of the contract. They are the drafters of the contract. They are the people, the ones who actually ratified the contract creating the federal government. The states are the creators of the federal government. They are the controllers of the federal government. It is time for us to understand the proper role and function of our government. Do not tell me Marbury versus Madison. That is circular logic. The Supreme Court cannot create an opinion that expands its own power. When the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of its own power and its own authority, that is not a constitutional republic created by the people. That is an oligarchy where the power rests within the government itself. James Madison said, when the government controls the property of the people, that is not a just government. We need to realize that this is a constitutional republic, government instituted among men, deriving its just power from the consent of the governed. If the federal government is not defined by the Constitution, why do we even have one? If the federal government is not limited in its power by the Constitution, then what is the limit of the federal government's power? If the federal government can dictate to the people and to the states how and when they can use their land, you are not a freeman. Freemen have control over their property. And when government dictates how you operate your property, the only thing missing in servitude are the physical chains. This is not about the Bundys. This is not about the Hammonds. This is about maintaining the integrity of the Constitution. This is about defending the Constitutional Republic. This is about making a defined and limited federal government that is under the power of the people in the states. So it's up to us to decide. Do we get led by the nose of the media narrative? Do we get controlled by the oligarchical power of the federal government? Or do we declare ourselves freemen? As our Constitution says, government instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. It is time to know the facts. It is time to stand for the truth. It is not about a person. It is not about people. It is about liberty. It is about power of the people. And it is about a limited and defined government. So I ask you today, what do you want? Do you want a constitutional republic where the people control the government, where the states are independent and sovereign? Or do you want a totalitarian oligarchy where a federal government decides what power it can have and it can own and how it can use that power with a pen and a phone or a law? Do we want an unlimited federal government? Or do we want to stand for what's right? Do we want to stand for what's true? I don't care what your politicians say. I don't care what your favorite presidential candidate says. The Constitution is the foundation of America. And if the federal government can set that aside, there is no limit on it at all.
The voice of the American Redoubt. Radio Free Redoubt.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Redoubt movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network.
Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men.
And we are here with segment four, which is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com, American Redoubt-based custom holster company, Kydex Holsters, and their lead time is less than 2 weeks. They got a lifetime guarantee on their products. And Mrs. Schmidt is anxiously awaiting her holster for her Glock 43. And she got the custom, what was that, the ATAC Bones pattern, which is, what's the point? It's going to be concealed, right? But it matters to her. So they've got a lot of different colors, and because this one's an inside the waistband holster. So that's why it's not really going to be seen, but we'll get something different. Maybe, we'll have to get her an outside the waistband holster too for those situations. All right. Now, besides Chris Ann Hall going there, being in Burns and speaking tomorrow night and Tuesday night, there's another group that I want to bring to your attention that is going there, and that is the Center for Self-Governance. Now, Representative Heather Scott, Idaho, strong patriot. She also was in Burns, Oregon last week with the Coalition of Western States. Multiple legislators went, and community leaders, clergy. They had several pastors. They had a veterans organization that was, wanted to, see what they could do to find a peaceful resolution for this and to also to learn more. But this was also not just to find a peaceful resolution, but to try to get information from all sides. It was a fact-finding mission to find out just what's going on and what's driving these guys. And also, let's see if we can keep people alive through this whole thing until we can get it resolved. But this group that's going to be down there is called the Center for Self-Governance. And also, I just noticed they do a great job for teaching. I'm going to do a special on this sometime because this is such a powerful organization that is truly making a difference. You want to say, what can I do in my community? We feel powerless. Well, we've been saying this over and over and over, that if you want to make changes, it's going to happen at the local level. Forget Trump, Cruz,
Who are these other guys? Clowns. Hillary. The other. Look, guys. This country's broke. Broken. Kaput. It is broken at the federal level in Washington, D.C. The problems that we face are not going to be solved in Washington. They're going to be solved at the local level. You want to learn how? The Center for Self-Governance is a great way for you to get engaged, along with other things that we've talked about. Your local property owners alliance, those type of groups are really effective. But they've got a constitution class for Washington State listeners. And these are going on all the time, but I just got this notification. It's a level 200 Washington State Constitution class. It's a webinar. It's $25. And what do they say? Bring, well, have your paper, pen, and a copy of your state constitution handy and your enthusiasm. So we're going to post a link to that, probably a separate posting, and then we're going to get more information out there from the Center for Self-Governance so you guys, you know, can get more involved in that in your communities and your states. So this one particularly here that I'm talking about is online, but it's dealing with the Washington State Constitution. On this week also, because Representative Matt Shea was down there kind of, you know, working with his delegation from the Coalition of Western States, the liberals just cannot stand him. That's a good sign. If you've got the communist left-wing personalities attacking you, you know you're on the right track. So that's a good thing. But this guy, Sean Vestal from the Socialist Review, some people call it the Spokesman Review, he writes this article. Our very own Bundy, Matt Shea, met last week with armed doofuses at the Oregon Bird Preserve. So did North Idaho's Heather Scott, Sage Dixon, proud defenders of the Confederate flag and all the gem state heritage it represents. Of course, we're seeing little hints of they must be racist, right? It's not known what these state legislators did on their trip to a state where they don't legislate, but rest assured it wasn't to talk sense to anyone. No, they were there to represent their true constituency, the amorphous ideological landscape of survivalism, end times paranoia, firearms, whiteness, and religiosity. The American Redoubt, he writes. Coined by a survival novelist and blogger, the term American Redoubt describes a stronghold in the Northwest where Christians and conservatives will flee when everything goes to hell. Shea, Scott, and others use the term with pride, as we all do, unless you're a communist liberal, American God-hating fat slob writing for a newspaper. Well, then you probably wouldn't like the concept of the American Redoubt. Because we do believe in self-reliance, and we also believe that biblical end times could be upon us. Hey, if you don't, I mean, is God a liar? Then I don't think so. But we know we're getting closer. And yes, we are for the means of self-defense and, well, our Christian faith. Whiteness? I don't know where he gets this from. It's just one of his things that he, it's, you know, it's to dig. It's to like just to get under the skin really is irrelevant, but describes a stronghold in the Northwest Christian. Oh, so here we go. It is a slightly less extreme version of the idea that Richard Butler and other white supremacists used to peddle. The Northwest is a haven for the right kind of people to flee to, a sanctuary for guns and white grievances. Flags and crosses, manly posturing and constitutional misinterpretation. How would he know? So anyway, look, the guy's got an issue with God. He hates people having the means to defend themselves. He's got something hung up. He put white in here, a white thing, white supremacist, white grievance, whiteness. This guy's got some issues. So who knows? Maybe we can get him some counseling one day. just pray for him. Hopefully that, you know, he's gets rid of some of that hate in his heart and replaces it with something else. But my goodness. So because of this, this is almost what you could say inciting violence, because it creates this violent rage. If you're a conservative, God-fearing patriot, well, this is going to make you roll your eyes and just like move on. But somebody actually called and put in a death threat to Representative Matt Shea's office. A death threat, which the Washington State Patrol and the Legislative Security Office, they're all over. So I want to follow up and see if they prosecute this guy. They should. Threatening a public official. That's prison time. And I listened to the recording. It is a foul, profanity-laced, hate-filled, because Representative Matt Shea went down there to find out what was really going on and try to find a peaceful resolution. They hate that. They hate anything that you, they're just, man, they're so full of hate. So what do you do? All right, let me talk about this the situation in Oregon. Now, first of all, I was wrong. I was wrong on the first count. The federal government isn't going to do this the same. These guys are probably going to die there. No, it still could turn out that way, but it's looking less and less likely. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but this is what's interesting. The federal government did do the exact same thing. They waited and they sat on their hands and they wrung their hands trying to figure out what to do about this refuge, wildlife refuge takeover by Ammon Bundy and these guys. About 2 dozen people out there now. So here's the thing. The federal government blew it. They blew it. Now, I'm glad. What I'm saying is, from an objective standpoint, here, federal government rolls in with the first 24 to 48 hours with a hostage response team. You've got armed right-wing extremists, domestic terrorists taking over a federal facility. I mean, it's pretty cut and clean. When you're writing the narrative, right? I mean, this is how you get to write it. So you go in there with a team, overwhelming force. You snuff these guys out. And what do you have? You've got about 15 dead right-wing extremist domestic terrorists. The same week that Obama is looking for examples to point to justify disarming Americans of combat-style rifles and increased gun control and to take the spotlight off the Muslim threat, right? It was just beautifully handed to them, but I'm starting to think these guys are supernaturally protected almost, or maybe they are fully and completely supernaturally protected. Something strange about this whole thing, why they delayed, why they did not learn from their previous engagement, the federal government. Because as from a tactician standpoint, you don't plan to win the last battle going up against an adversary in subsequent confrontations, because he's going to change his game plan. And if you plan on the last confrontation you had with him and use those same tactics that you used to defeat him, because the federal government was defeated at Bundy Ranch, they were forced to stand down and they left with their tail between their legs, and it was a victory for the Patriots. No bloodshed was spilled. No blood was spilled. The rancher got to continue using the public land, and he got his cattle, the ones the BLM didn't kill, and he's continuing to ranch today on the same disputed property, and the BLM's nowhere to be found. They just left him alone. Well, it's reasonable to think they're not going to let that happen again, but they did. They sat around and they let that first week, when the nation was shocked at the armed takeover of this wildlife refuge, and they allowed the Patriots and those who are occupying the wildlife refuge to get their narrative out. And what did we see? If you look at the polls, the American citizenry across the board did a 180. They went from armed standoff, take these guys out, which, you know, there's some of them, just some of the God haters and anti-patriots that, you know, that's still their mindset. But the average American was watching this with fascination, and that you saw the view change among the American people, didn't you? Even how many among you started changing in your heart? Now, I don't want these guys to die. I wouldn't have done what they did, but if they go in there and do a Waco thing on these guys, I'm going to have a problem with that, right? And you, what you were seeing is the public opinion start to turn in favor of the guys holding the refuge and against the BLM. But they could have struck them at the beginning when the federal government was the victim and these guys were domestic terrorists. They could have just snuffed them early. They could have written their own narrative and it would have been over. But now it changed. The federal government messed up, and I was wrong in assessing that they would not do the same tactics, but they did. So that's on them. At some point, they're going to change their tactics. They didn't this time. I don't know what they'll do next time, but at some point, they're going to say, gloves are coming off. We're tired of messing with you people. That is coming. I just thought it would be this time. So now they lost the perfect opportunity to exploit the situation to support their narrative, and they missed the opportunity. They blew it. Now the mindset is changing among the American people. Now the ranchers are starting to come forward. They're emboldened now. Even though the media is trying to say, well, not very many people really want them there. Not true. This is so not true. Only a few people, by Judge Grasty and his gang, don't want anybody there snooping around for some reason. But the ranchers are now coming forward, and they're sharing their testimonies about the abuses, about the threats, about the tactics that the BLM's been using against them, cutting off their land, diverting water away from their cattle, so they've had to move their cattle to other places, and they've been powerless to do anything about it. Powerless. They're so defeated in that area, they don't have any fight left in them. But now it's starting to invigorate the ranchers and that community who, what, 20 years ago was one of the most vibrant counties in eastern Washington. Now it's like the most economically depressed because of the BLM and what it's done to the ranching farming industry on open lands down there. So this is what happened. I'm going to go a little bit long here, so bear with me. Ammon Bundy prayed about this. If these guys, if the Hammonds go to prison, they need to do something drastic. But what? Well, there's a wildlife refuge there, a visitor center. We're going to take that. We're going to take something back, and we're going to use that to kind of launch, bring awareness to this situation with the BLM. And then when they got there, he agonized over this. No, this is crazy. This is lunacy. This is like so over the top. Good way to get killed. No, we got to do it. No, I can't. Right? Back and forth. Finally, at the demonstration that Saturday, 2 weeks ago, when the Hammonds were going to turn themselves in, he said to himself, nope, I'm doing it. I'm going to take this refuge. Who's with me? Some of the guys peeled off and said, yeah, not me. Sorry. And some of the guys said, well, we're with you. So they drove out there. Now, he had never been to this place before. And he said that in his mind, he pictured this little visitor center. You know, where you go into the lobby and there's like a couple of stuffed pheasants. And then there's brochures. And then in the back, a couple little offices. When they got there, every light was on. All the computers were on. Every door was unlocked. It was as if the entire office had went out back for a smoke break. But there was nobody there. Everyone was gone. The place was completely open. They didn't break into anything. They just wandered around. Now, hanging up on the wall are the keys to the entire motor pool of trucks, heavy equipment, backhoes, excavators, dozers, all of this equipment that you would use for, well, ranching, including fuel trucks fully full of fuel. You could run the place indefinitely. So they were asked, you know, you plan on cutting power off to these guys? And they said, we can't. We want to, but we can't. Why not? Well, this facility is not metered. It's tied directly into the grid. So we kill the power to, you know, freeze these guys out. We're freezing out about 8,000 residents. What? You're kidding me. Well, we starve them out. Set up roadblocks. There are no roadblocks. There is no standoff. There's no roadblocks, and people are coming in and out of town, back and forth, driving back and forth to town and from town, and reporters and people from the town and people from the refuge are running into town to buy groceries, and there is no standoff. The FBI has a compound that they set up with all kinds of SIGINT, you know, signals intelligence equipment, communications equipment, tactical team standing by, and all the stuff out at the airport. While these guys are out there doing ranch work at the refuge 30 miles south of Burns. So they started looking at the plat maps, which are there. Now let me back up. Starve them out, can't do it. Why? First of all, they're free to come and go. Nobody's stopping them. Secondly, there is a kitchen in there fully stocked with food. Probably lasts at least a year. But they're not touching it. They're not taking the food. They're actually going to town and they're getting supplies. Now, they found the plat maps and they started consulting or conferring with other ranchers in the area and finding out, this is where the BLM put this fence in and cut off my cattle. This is where they closed off this gate and they put up a fence. This is where they re-diverted the water. This is where they pulled out a fence. So what they're doing is they're going out there doing ranch work. They're pulling up fences where there shouldn't be. They're putting in fences where there should be. They're putting in gates where there should be gates in the fences. And they've got plans for re-diverting the water supplies to reroute water back to the ranchers that was diverted to force them off the land because to cut their water supply off the BLM. Now, these guys are doing ranch work. And what a better group of people to do it than ranchers. They're running it more efficiently and effectively than the BLM could. Why? Because BLM are bureaucrats, and they're not ranchers. So now these guys are unopposed. The press is following around, taking pictures of them putting up gates and taking down fences and doing ranch work. There's no raid. There's no standoff. There is no standoff out there. They're just not stopping them. On top of that, there's a giant BLM facility right outside of Burns. I drove right by it. It's huge. But of all the places he could have picked, Ammon Bundy and his group, they took this wildlife refuge that they thought was just a little building with some brochures and a couple offices, and it turns out to be a full-blown facility that's fully stocked with food and equipment and fuel, and they can't shut the power off. And there's no roadblocks. And guess what else is there? They discovered that it was the document depository for all of the documents related to all of the cases where the BLM has taken land from ranchers, dumped right in the Patriots' laps. They are now going through those documents. They're starting to connect dots, and they're building a case. There's some lawyers are going to be taking a very close look, and it's also hinted, based on some of the things that they found, that if not criminally, then at least procedurally, the BLM screwed up on many different cases. And that this land should be returned to these people, ranchers, including the Hammonds. And it's also, there's also other evidence indicating, let's just say, it could lead to the Hammonds being exonerated, who are in prison right now. This whole thing is so blown open. This is, oh, now, a week ago, I was correct. We shouldn't back this. This is wrong. This is out of line. 2 weeks ago, I mean. Now what we've seen unfold, almost like it was delivered into their hands. Amazing. Because this was equivalent to being upset because of, let's say, your state patrol DUI, unconstitutional roadblocks and, safety checks. Unconstitutional. Stopping you and searching your vehicle with no probable cause. It's a violation of Fourth Amendment, but they're doing it anyway, right? So you get all upset and you're going to protest. How? By going and taking down a weigh station with a bunch of your friends and holding on to it. That's how much sense this made, taking this wildlife refuge. This is why I was opposed to it. I mean, you're kidding me. That's like protesting illegal checkpoints on the highway by taking a weigh station over. And what are you thinking? That you want us to risk our butts coming to save you? Did you think you were obligating us to come running to your aid to help you take this way station? I mean, equivalent. This is what was going through my mind. And then when I've seen how all this stuff unfolded, including, of all places, the document depository for all of that stuff in that area happened to land right there. It was, now, if they had done intelligence work and strategically chosen that, it would have been one of the most brilliant tactical and strategic operations in resistance history. But it wasn't. It was dumb luck. It was just luck. There was no strategy behind it. He almost decided not to do it. Never been out there before. Thought it was a little cabin. Now, and this is like taking that rest stop because you're angry about DUI checkpoints, only to discover that that way station is where somebody's holding, sex trafficking, sex slaves, for transport, and all the documentation and video. I mean, it's just all the incriminating. This is just what they stumbled into is just insane. And everything that they need to sustain them is there, and they're completely unopposed. Completely. So that got me thinking, you know what? To expose what the tyrants have been doing, could this have been just delivered into their hands? You realize how many people are praying over them and prayed over them before this even began and have been praying for them now? How many Christian patriot clergy are praying for their safety and praying for wisdom, praying for restraint from the federal government? This very well could be supernatural intervention to expose evil and corruption and to expose the tyrant. And all the underhanded tactics that they've been using against American ranchers, farmers, American citizens for years that's been hidden in the dark, and this could be the flashlight being pointed on it. So I'm not saying these guys are dumb, these shouldn't be doing that, and I don't stand with them. Now, what they're doing, the federal government clearly could declare illegal. I'm not ready to run down there and join them. At this point, I don't feel called to it, but I am certainly not going to besmirch anyone who does prayerfully make that decision and feels called to go there and help them with logistics or ranching or security or searching documents and things like that. They're not breaking anything. They're not ruining anything. There was two arrests. One was unrelated. It was one of the guys who was on the security detail. Unrelated. It was an Arizona warrant for something. But the other one that was related, some bonehead decided to take one of the U.S. Forest Service trucks into town to get supplies. And they nabbed him for theft of a federal vehicle, which is, when it's all said and done, it won't be theft. He was running into town to get supplies and running right back out there and parking it in the motor pool where it came from. That's called joyriding. But they'll try. They'll go for the felony. They'll go for theft first. But that'll get plead down to joyriding because that's really what it was. But that's it right now. Otherwise, unopposed. The federal government did put up some cameras about a mile down the road from the refuge to film, you know, people coming in and out wireless so they could watch it in real time. Well, the Patriots went out there and removed the cameras. Didn't damage anything. They just got them in a nice little basket. And so they just can't watch them anymore. So this is just the most bizarre thing. It is really bizarre. So while the delegation was there, they asked the federal government, the FBI, do you plan on carrying out a raid? They said, no, we're just going to kick back and make sure things don't, I mean, they're not hurting anybody. They haven't taken any hostages. We're waiting for further guidance. But right now, they're not going to do anything. One of the reasons why is because it would totally escalate everything. There's the three percenters from Idaho, three percenters from Oregon, multiple militia groups that have been basically turned away and told, get your tactical gear, G.I. Joe stuff out of here because we don't want to escalate the situation. Let these guys out there do what they're doing without the government justifying bringing in, you know, National Guard and all the forces from, you know, from here to the Missouri River. Everything's just kind of copacetic right now. Don't mess it up. That's what the three percenters are telling the, you know, the militia warfighter guys coming in. But the three percenters did go out to the FBI compound out at the airport and confronted them and said, look, we don't have a beef with you, but we just want to let you know we are not going to stand for a Waco style attack. All right. We're not gunning for you. We don't want to be adversarial with you. We don't got to, you know, we're not going to pick a fight with you, but we just want to let you know we want this to end peacefully with no bloodshed on any side. And so therefore, we just want to let you know we're in the area because we will not tolerate a Waco-style raid. You just come in there and drone strike these guys or burn them all to the ground and murder everybody. Not going to happen. So far, cool heads are prevailing. The ranchers are doing ranch work. Investigators are doing investigative work. The FBI is hanging out, eating, you know, staying at the motels. And that place is full. All the motels are full. And it's all sheriff's department, state patrol, such and such county. They're from all over the place, rotating in and out of there. There's so much law enforcement presence. But more and more of the citizens are now emboldened to step forward and tell their stories and share their testimonies. So I don't know how this is all going to turn out in the end. But I do change my viewpoint about what these guys are doing is wrong. I wouldn't have done it. I would expect to get killed. I wouldn't expect to last the week pulling something like that. I pray a lot about where the Lord wants me and what direction. And I know we're going to be called to face the tyrant at some point in the future. I don't know when that is. I don't know what role that will be. But there'll be plenty to do in the future without running down to Burns, Oregon. But we stand ready to serve for patriots that feel like they need communication support. AMRON is standing by. AMRON Corps operators are training up for this. It was AMRON Corps operators that were on this communications support team. There's a lot involved. I'm going to debrief that tomorrow night. But anyway, I did go long, but I wanted to explain some of those things to you guys. I hope you have a little bit better understanding of what's going on there. I don't know if that affects you, but it affected me. And I'm telling you where I stand on it. We don't have to agree. There were some people that were upset a couple weeks ago when I said, I don't think this is something we should be supporting. When's the Civil War? When's the war going to start then? If not now, then when? I get it. I understand. I battle with that all the time. I'm so sick of them taking Christian-owned businesses and, you know, fining them hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars, taking their livelihood away, you know, over this homosexual agenda, and to see whole communities have, you know, this Muslim jihad thrust on them where they can't do anything about it, taking children away from people, homeschoolers, calling us terror. I mean, look, sometimes I'm just, what are we waiting for? You know, what would the founding fathers say? I get that. But you need to prayerfully make those decisions, because they're very serious decisions that you, once you go there, there's no going back. You decide to take a federal wildlife refuge center, there is no going back. You're all in, fully committed. And some people are called to do that. Apparently, a couple dozen people are called to do that. Of all the tens of thousands of patriots, hundreds of thousands of patriots across the United States, we've got about 20 people that were called, that felt called to do that. So I'm not going to bash on them. If they feel called to do that and that strong conviction, and they reached that decision prayerfully, if they did, then I'm not going to chastise them. But I don't feel called to do that. Lord's got something for all of us. He's got a role for all of us. So that's their role. That's what he's called them to, apparently. And he's provided them with protection, with covering, with all that they need, all their needs, including what's happened to the spirit or the psychologically to the federal government, their response, the people in the town, the patriot community, and the people that are praying for them, clergy teams that are praying over them. There's something going on here, something that you can't see, smell, or touch, but there's something going on here. And I'm watching this with great interest. And in the meantime, we need to prepare in our own places, in our own places. And before I close, there's an article over at Sipsey Street Irregulars that talked about folks saying, we need to mount up. We need to head to Burns, Oregon to make sure it's not a Waco. And it got me thinking about some discussions and an article that was posted over at Sipsey Street Irregulars. It was actually posted years ago, but it was reposted. Like, not everybody is a coward if you don't run to Burns, Oregon, because that's the worst thing you could do. Why would you leave your own hometown and your community to run hundreds of miles or even thousands of miles away to another community where there's already thousands of people converging on it, when where you are is where you should be going operational? If these guys do a Waco on those guys, everybody should go operational where they are. There'll be plenty that won't listen to that thinking, that approach. They're going to be running to burn. So that's going to be well covered. What about your community? What about the other ranchers that are right on the edge? You know, there's about four or five other almost identical situations to the Bundy and the Hammond Ranch type situations that are just like powder kegs ready to be lit. This is not the only thing going on. But this article was saying, why run away from your community? If this goes Waco, everybody goes operational in your own community. It's on. And I'm just telling you what the article said. It was kind of interesting. Maybe I'll try to dig that back up and repost it. It's just thought-provoking, you know, for academic study reasons. Anyway, guys, you have a blessed week. Hopefully I give you plenty to think of and think on. Remember us in our prayers. Thank you for the encouragement, the letters of encouragement, suggestions, feedback, and input. Always valued. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.